morning. Emily and her family wanted me to thank you for coming this morning to celebrate and honor Dale. Your presence, your love, and your support has been especially important and comforting to them this past week. We have gathered here this morning because of one man, a man who was known for his love for his church, a man who was known for his faith and compassion, a man who was known for the love that he shared with others, a man we all loved. And of course, that man is Jesus Christ. We are here specifically today because Dale Paulson has died. Without Jesus, this would be an incredibly sad and miserable day. With Jesus, the day is still quite sad. But mingled with that sadness is a celebration and hope that is only possible through Jesus Christ. We're not here primarily because Dale has tragically died. Rather, we are here because Dale lived his life well and faithfully. It is not just his death that we note today, but it is primarily his life. We are grateful for his love, for his commitment to Christ and Christ's church, for his smile, and of course, for his great laugh. He'd want me to add, for his free shot as well. His death, even the tragic nature of his death, can't keep those qualities from being celebrated and appreciated. So let's use this service to honor Dale, to pray for and support Emily and her family, to encourage the members and people of this congregation who Dale so dearly loved. Most of all, let's use this service to praise Jesus Christ, our Lord. For it was Jesus who said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." He followed that statement to Martha with these words, "Do you believe this?" We stand today as the Church of Jesus Christ saying, absolutely yes, we believe that. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for Dale Paulson. We love Dale, enjoy Dale, and we're blessed by him. Thank you for giving us Dale for these years. Today, we are most grateful that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, Dale's death isn't final. We know it's not the last chapter of the book on his life. Thank you for knowing your way out of the tomb and for bringing us with you. Lord, we would ask that you would bless and comfort Emily. She and Dale had a close and wonderful relationship. Bless also Andrew and Daniel and Tim, their wives, 7 grandchildren, and all of Dale's family. Dale's sudden death has left a huge hole in their lives and hearts, and life will be so different for them now, particularly for Emily. Please encourage and sustain them. We ask that we will continue to see Dale's influence in the lives of his grandchildren and someday his great-grandchildren. May they remember his smile, his laugh, his faith, and most of all, his Lord. We also pray for this congregation. This past week has brought a devastating blow not only to Dale's family, but also to Dale's congregation. Please support the people of this church, and may they find the strength, the leadership, and the hope necessary not just to survive, but to thrive. This is your church, Lord, and we need your help. Thank you for promising us your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. For those that are able, let's stand and sing together, "Be Thou My Vision." It is printed in the bulletin.
Psalm 118 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." I will greatly miss Pastor Dale, who was a good friend and fellow pastor here in Morro Bay. The other pastors here on the coast will miss him as well, and a number of them are here today. He was a vital part of our local pastor's fellowship group, and together we enjoyed great times of prayer and fellowship as we loved and encouraged one another. Dale and I and a number of pastors prayed together every week. When Dale and Emily moved to the Central Coast, they were quick to become involved in the wider church community. Because of the ministry of Dale and Emily, this congregation has had a significant impact on the communities of Morro Bay, Cayucas, and Los Osos. The church congregation I pastor has benefited greatly by the kindness of Dale and the leadership of this congregation. I am so thankful and grateful for all the prayers that Dale and Emily prayed for me. And it was very evident that they had a genuine concern for me and how I was doing. I'd had some medical challenges, and they really lifted me up, and their congregation did as well. One of Pastor Dale's favorite scriptures was 2 Corinthians 3:18, which says, "And we all, who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory," or some versions say from glory to glory, "which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." If you spent any time in the presence of Pastor Dale, or if you heard him speak, you knew that he reflected the glory of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you also knew that it was his desire that all those he ministered to would reflect the Lord's glory and be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. The following two scriptures are from the Gospel of John. In John 11, 25 to 26, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Although I will greatly miss Pastor Dale here on earth, I know that he is rejoicing in heaven and that I will see him again. The truth is, God created all of us with an eternal nature. Even though our earthly body dies, our soul and spirit are eternal. Jesus says the following words in John 14, 1 through 6. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, in this passage of Scripture, there are three wonderful truths of comfort. The first is that peace is promised. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." When someone we love dies, Jesus is the one that offers us peace and comfort. Trust in him, and he will give you his perfect peace. The second truth of comfort is that God has prepared a place for us. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms." Some versions say many mansions. "I am going there to prepare a place for you." 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." This life is not the main event. The main event is eternity with God. The third truth of comfort is that God has prepared a way for all of us to be with him. Most people I meet want to go to heaven, but some people just don't know the way. In John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We are all travelers on a road called life. We don't need to be confused or lost on this road. All we need to do is follow Jesus. He will show us the way. In fact, the scripture tells us that he is the way. He will lead us and guide us. 1 John 5:13 says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Pastor Dale's heart and desire was that you would know that you have eternal life, that you would have the assurance that you were going to heaven when you died. Now, I don't know each one of you personally or where you are in your spiritual journey, but I know that God loves you very much and wants you to spend eternity in heaven with him. Now, I'm making available today for free after the service two excellent resources. There's a box in the back, in the foyer, with a number of copies of these in there. And these, they'll help you know for sure that you're going to heaven, or they'll help you if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus. The first is this 24-page booklet, Why Jesus, by Nikki Gumbel. It gives a clear and concise explanation of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And the second one is this little book called Biblical Answers About Heaven by Randy Alcorn. And there's a section at the end that says, how can we know for sure that we'll go to heaven? And so I would encourage you to take each one of you or each couple take one of these booklets, each of these booklets with you. And then if you have questions about what it means to follow Jesus or how do I get to heaven, that you would talk to a pastor in the community that you live in, or you can talk to one of the pastors here after the service. And I'm just praying that God will grant you a fresh revelation of the love of Jesus Christ. Will you stand as we sing the song, Give Me Jesus? It's printed in your folder. Thank you.
Scripture says that it's precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his faithful servants, and that we sacrifice thanksgiving as we call on God. It's not always easy to be thankful. Sometimes we sacrifice. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, and so today we honor and celebrate the gift of the Father's love that's been expressed to us through Dale. I met Dale Paulson in 1992. I was running the world's largest rental stables in Yosemite National Park, and my life was quite a wreck. On the outside, as a young man, it looked like I had everything going for me, but inside, alcoholism had taken its toll for over 16 years. My marriage was falling apart, and tragically, the summer of 1992, a young child was killed on one of our ponies, and that really sent me into a tailspin. I was not raised as a Christian. I was raised in a cult, and I didn't really have a good grasp of who Jesus Christ is. And I did call out to God that he would save that child, and he didn't. And so I said, well, I don't want any part of that kind of a God. And then eventually I hit a point where I said, there is no God. And this self-destructive course escalated. I met Dale because he had offered to meet with my staff as a grief and trauma counselor. And so I remember, I just was really struggling processing this death of this child. And so I went to meet him at the chapel in Yosemite, and we chatted for some time, and he listened really well, as he always did. And at the end of our conversation, he said to me, you know, Eric, you should go to church. He said, you don't need to come to my church, but you should go to a church where there's prayer and where you'll be supported. And I said, well, no, thanks, Pastor. The mountain's on my church. And I went out of the chapel and went and promptly got drunk, is what I actually did. But the bottom of my life accelerated shortly after that. And I remember one night when my wife had left me, my daughter was gone, my health wasn't all that great, and I was calling out to God. And I remember I said, God, if you're really there, you need to take this drinking from me. And if you're really there, I want to be your friend, like Abraham was your friend. I heard about that. And God did that. He did. He, right then. And so I had bought a children's living Bible, and in that Bible it said that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and if you confess with your mouth that, then you'll be saved. And so I did. I gave my life to Christ in there, and my wife and I went camping in Morro Bay with our young daughter, and we were at this campground over here, Morro Strands. And I remember saying, when we get back to Yosemite, honey, we need to go to church. The pastor said, we need to be a part of a church. And so we went into church that first Sunday in Yosemite Valley, and we got a good seat in the back, and we were sitting there, and in walks Dale through the side door, and he saw us, like, right away. And he just beamed. He just beamed at us. And his sermon that day was called There Are No Lone Rangers, and it stuck with me ever since. There was a lot of healing that went on in that chapel, standing there watching the snow outside of the window, watching Dale tear up with Be Thou My Vision. Songs like Have You Seen Jesus My Lord? One that we did all the time, Old Dorothy, God Rest Her Soul, I Know Who I Have Believed In. And so Dale devoted himself to discipling us Yosemite babies, is what I called us, because there was, like, you could count on two hands us young people and our families that came to Jesus. And he taught a weekly Bible study in my house, but he didn't just teach the Bible. He taught us how to study and interpret and apply the Bible. And we worshiped together, and we ate together, and we prayed together. We went on picnics. He sponsored Peggy and I to a life-changing retreat. We went to San Francisco to watch the Giants play the Dodgers more than once. He was always open to meeting with me in his office or at his house, and we would discuss scripture, and we would pray, and he would listen. I loved making him laugh. I could make him laugh real easy. I could shock him. He would do that like that. We grew up on opposite sides of the track. We went to Maine together to a board meeting for a Christian ministry in the national parks, and he said, Eric, I'll buy you anything. Let's go out to lunch. The church has budgeted a little bit of money for us to go have lunch. We went to an all-you-can-eat lobster, and it said, lobster, $7 meal. And I'm like, wow. And the lady said, how many pounds do you want? And I go, well, how many pounds are there? And she says, well, you can get lobster 1 to 4 pounds. And so I didn't want to be a glutton, so I said, I'll get a 3-pound lobster. And but I didn't realize, I was so young and dumb and naive, it was $7 a pound. So this lunch came to close to $30, and Dale looked at me and said, Eric, you have to buy your own lunch. The church can't afford your lunch. But he started cracking up and taking, he had like a little soup, you know what I mean? But he's taking pictures of me with butter and lemon running down my face. This morning, I just remembered, we went to the Promise Keepers Clergy Conference together in Atlanta, and there were four of us pastors, always on a tight, but four pastors in one room with two beds. And I got comfortable with the floor really quick, I can tell you that. And I remember this morning, it just hit me, Dale and I, though, our first night, these two guys, and we're wandering around the neighborhoods around the Atlanta Dome because we were lost looking for our hotel. He renewed Peggy and I's 10th anniversary vows. We spent Christmas Eves together at Christmas Eve service and dinner at our friends. We went car shopping together in a storm in Sacramento. He baptized me. He advocated for Peggy and I in ministry. He gave us opportunity. He got us preaching in the campgrounds in Yosemite and later opened the way for us to take on a little fellowship in Wawona. And I will tell you this today, that I am a Christ follower and a pastor because I am. I know God works, but he works through people. And Christ was reflected in his face, like it says in 2 Corinthians. The last time I saw him was 10 years ago, right in here. I sat once again, just he and I alone in here, with my notepad out, and I sat under his teaching. He shared advice, and he shared his heart with me. As I began my journey as a senior pastor, that notepad is long gone, but I will tell you this, this is what I walked away from. He loved you. He loved this congregation. You need to know that. It is as though he had arrived, like he landed. And he was in his place with his purpose and his passion. The Sunday that he died, last Sunday, I can't believe it, I used him in my morning sermon. I was talking about how God knew right where I was in my journey, and God gave me the perfect pastor. So he was a father, a brother, a mentor, a friend, and an inspiration. But I can say this, most of all, he was my pastor. And he set a very high standard for those to follow. There have been anointed preachers, and they've been great leaders, but there's not been a guy that had that shepherd's heart. Dale's last sermon in Yosemite was from Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And Dale was that guy. He was sold out for Christ. He was genuine. He was Christ-centered, and he was loving. He set the example of how to love a family, how to love a church, and how to love his God. I think one of the greatest compliments you can have is like that of Moses or King David. Moses, the man of God. David, a man after God's own heart. And Dale was a man of God, a man after God's own heart. He lived anchored to Christ. The scripture says we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So may we live the same way. May we let Christ's love reflect off of us. May we be genuine and Christ-centered and loving, anchored to Christ in hope. Men and women after God's own heart who carry on Dale's legacy. I would like to introduce right now Dale's father-in-law, Pastor Bob Pop Whitaker, and he'll lead us in a time of sharing.
This is rich. I'm for having a funeral every day like this. I'm serious. I'm enjoying every word, every sensitivity, every realization, every loving touch. This is rich. Can you feel it? Can you? I'm sure many of you have many things to share today. I'd like to exhort you to be short, because there's more on the program. You don't want to cut it too short. There's more on the program Matt is going to share yet. We want to hear him. We'd like you to be brief. Remember Dale. He was never long-winded. I don't think he was. I've known a lot of pastors. I thought he was 20 minutes. And it was good. So remember Dale. Be short. Be brief. Relevant. Secondly, remember, here's a word from Proverbs that most of us never memorized. Where words are many, sin is not lacking. Jesus' longest parables took only 2 minutes. Go and do thou likewise. So we're going to first of all open the floor to the family. By that I mean relatives of Dale on both sides of the family. We want to invite you, if you would like to share a brief word on your heart, to come forward. If you can't come forward, Andrew will hand a mic to you. Don't get it too close, not too far. And so we'll take the family first in terms of sharing. Something on your heart that you want to share today. Just raise your hand. You can speak here.
So I'm Andrew, Dale's oldest son, and as my grandfather so humorously reminded us, I'll be quick, I don't think I can go very long anyway. So I was thinking about how to describe my dad to a lot of you, and I think a quick way to describe him is that he loved to play and compete. That was what I like to call his spark, what lit him up. A chance to show his skill, to do a game. It was one of his favorite ways to connect with others. It was how he made friends, how he spent time with family. So one of those main ways for us is my dad loved to wrestle with me and my brothers. It seemed we were always on the floor, rolling around. He would tickle us until we couldn't breathe and let us catch our breath and go right back at it. And when Daniel and I found we had another brother, our first thought was, dang, we wanted a sister for mom so she could have a girl. Sorry, Tim. One of my next thoughts was, yes, we three boys could finally beat dad on the floor. We could take him. But, of course, it didn't work that way. Not only could dad easily handle all three of us, my brother Tim switched sides so he could be on the winning side. He didn't like being with losers. So later my dad would explain that wrestling was his aggressive hugging. It was his way of showing affection through play, his spark. Everyone spent time with my dad will talk about his laugh. You'll hear that all today, his booming laugh. But he had a special laugh that would happen when he played and competed, especially at ping pong. As he steadily built his lead, he would laugh. Not at you for missing a shot, but because he was just enjoying himself, just enjoyed the gift of playing well, almost his good fortune of returning a slam or hitting a shot down the line. He was excited as he got closer to victory. And because you knew he wasn't laughing at you, it made you that much more mad. And Dad more than once had ping pong paddles thrown at him out of frustration, usually because of that infuriating, obnoxious laugh. He would say he couldn't help it, and I think that was true, because he had so much joy in play. His spark. Another form of play that his sisters will attest to is that he loved to tease. And he loved to tease my mom more than anyone else. They were perfect together that way, because he would tease her, and if you know my mother, she would have an over-the-top reaction. A squeal, a yell, or she just hit him. And he adored my mom. He would embarrass her from every pulpit he worked at, how beautiful she was and how great she was as a mother, and make her blush. And they fought and argued like most couples, but most of the time they would get to a point of laughing. Just like he was an aggressive hugger, he could be an aggressive communicator. But so could mom. And they had such respect for each other. I never really saw them cross a line in there without respect. And so most of the time, they would end up laughing at each other. And especially these last years, they laughed each other a lot as they were adjusting to getting old and being grandparents, and teased each other constantly about the exercises and pills and gray hair. Teasing was part of his play, his spark. And that was my dad. A man who deep down loved to play and laugh with others. And we'll miss that spark.
Anyone else from the family circle that would like to share today? Come on, Charlie.
Well, I'm Charlie Little. I'm married to one of Emily's sisters, so Miguel and I were brothers-in-law. And I first met him without knowing that I met him. I went to Occidental College, and he went to Redlands, and we were in the same sports league together, and we were both on the freshman basketball teams. And so I competed against him, although I never knew it. We were undefeated on our freshman team, so those were the only two times I ever defeated Dale in basketball. It was when I had four other people around me. So when we first got to know each other, it was like, oh, you know, wow, we played against each other. Well, let's try it again. One-on-one, as much as my wife rooted me on, I never was able to defeat Dale. He had just a little bit better outside shot, was a tad harder, and wanted it a little bit more. And so I do remember and cherish those times.
I do remember those, and will always recall losing to Dale on the basketball court, except those two times we were freshmen at opposing league.
Anybody else from the family that would like to share? Tim? All right. Tim.
I guess I get to go.
Okay, Dan.
I'm always second, so I get to go second. For those that don't know me, I'm Daniel. I'm the second child, and I'm the musician. I'm not the writer or the public speaker, but something that was very special for all of us was that we all got to have a very unique time and conversations with Dad in the last few weeks. And as he was looking at his future and he was looking at, you know, his plans and ideas and dreams and such, and he had fire in his belly, and he was still the vibrant, just amazing person he was. Something that we'll always remember was that Dad was, shall we say, enthusiastic in everything he did. So that could be, you know, his laugh and his play. That could have been disciplining us. That could be whatever you want to call it. Dad was full of life and power. Something that I simply have talked with people in the last few days has been amazing is Dad always started his sermons with, if there's anything that's of you, Lord, may it stay in people's minds. And if there's anything that's not, take it away. When he would pray for us, he would often say something to the effect of, you know, help me to be a better father, or help me to help be an example for my children. Dad was not this preacher that stood up or at home that looked down on us and said, you need to do this, you need to do that. And Dad very humbly lived it. And as stubborn as he was, as we all laugh about his German ancestry and everything, he would apologize and he would say that he wasn't perfect, that he was following a perfect God. And that legacy, I think, is the testament in, to us boys, to his kids, to the grandkids, that Dad was not preaching at us. He was sharing his life because of God who saved him. And that's amazing because we can attest to that being genuine, that being true, that he was a light that shined for everybody that knew him. His great, you know, qualities, his imperfections, but Dad lived it, and that's what we carry with us.
Check. All right. I figure it out eventually. I'm an engineer. So a couple days ago was Thanksgiving, as you all know, and Dad would always have us share what we were thankful for every year. Not everything, but he didn't get a turn this year, so all these aren't in his own words, and I can say if I forgot some things that y'all are mad about, you can complain with him later. But I figured we'd try to extend some thanks from my dad. So, here goes. First, to Mom and Dad, thanks for my life. As you know, I came out breech and I've been backwards ever since. And you've always put up with me. You sacrificed so much and you worked so hard just so me and my siblings could have a chance, so thank you. To my Uncle Dwayne and to Oli, thank you for my sense of humor. To my sisters, thank you for our friendship, and thank you for your support of our mother over the years. To my brother Dean, thanks for trying to compete with me in everything. You never really had a chance, but it was still fun. And on a serious note, thank you for sharing with me after you came to faith. It was one of the sweetest things in my life. To all my siblings, thanks for these last few years of great times together. I'm sorry it took our mother's death to bring us that close, but it's been a real treasure. To my father-in-law, Bob, thank you and Marilyn for welcoming me to the family and for giving me my wife. To all the churches where I served in Connecticut, Malibu, Fresno, Yosemite, and Morro Bay, thanks for the opportunities to lead, serve, and grow. There are so many memories of support from my family, so many potlucks, counseling sessions, mission trips, parties, and just being church. It was really great, even swallowing those goldfish at youth group. To all the friends, nephews, nieces, and in-laws, everyone who tried to beat me in a game of ping pong or a free throw contest, nice try. You know I was the best, and you can't argue with me because today is my day, so just leave it at that. And if you ever wondered how I made those shots from the elbow without hardly getting off the ground, well, the Lord works in mysterious ways. And the prayers of a righteous man are both powerful and effective. To the poor young women who married my boys, I'm sorry for their behavior. Thanks for the chance to have some daughters in a way. Lord knows my wife could use a few more women around, and you guys were a real blessing. To Andrew, Daniel, and Tim, there's too much to say, but thank you for making life worth living. Dad was my favorite title. to Emily. Man, if there was too much to say about the boys, I can't even start with you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for putting up with me. Thank you for always being with me and for being my partner, my friend, and my love. So, thank you all.
Thank you. Any others in the family that wanted to share? So we'll open it up to the rest of you here today. Those of you who feel that you need to share something, remember, brevity is important. Let's try to keep it short, sweet, and remember we have a long program yet to go. So if you wish to share and be heard, if we can reach you with a microphone, that's good. If we can't reach you with a microphone, perhaps you could come down either side and come up here. So who would like to lead off? I think you could take it to her. Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Don't get in front of that mic. I would say stand to one side.
My name's Mary Bell, and my mom and my stepfather were members of this church.
Hold the mic up here.
And Dale saw me through both of their illnesses while I took care of them. And what I loved the most about him was so friggin' funny. And him and I kind of had the same sense of humor, so he would tease me, and we would laugh, but I remember at my stepdad's funeral, he goes, "You know what, Mary? I know I'm never going to see you again because there's no more funerals." And I said, "No, I promise I'll come back. I'll come back and surprise you someday." So it was probably last April, my friend Frankie and I, we got all fixed up and we came to church. And I walked in and he had this big smile on his face and he goes, "Who died?" I go, "No, I promised you that I would come back." He was so wonderful to me when my parents were both sick and both died, and he did wonderful services for them. And I came back early from Thanksgiving because I knew my mama would just kick me in the you-know-what if I wasn't here today. He was a wonderful person. And
next.
October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and 10 years ago, I wrote this letter to Dale, 18 October 2008. "Dear Pastor Dale, with this letter, I hope to convey our appreciation for all that you are doing here at Morro Bay Press. I've held for some time that being a pastor is akin to being a parent, but instead of one or two or three children, it becomes 100 or 200 or 300 children. Now, I don't mean to classify our church members as children, but with this analogy, I hope to give you the recognition of a parent for a very, very large family. And in this capacity, you are an excellent parent, always caring for our spiritual needs and sometimes needs beyond the spiritual. But certainly, in the traditional sense of being a pastor, we at Morro Bay Press are indeed fortunate, even blessed, to have you. I really appreciate your careful attention to the needs of every member in our congregation, your well-prepared and soundly scriptural sermons, and the way you lead us in worship, and how you prepare us, and indeed yourself, for worship of our God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This makes going to church more than fun, more than educational, more than fellowship, it becomes an event that Claire and I look forward to worship and to come closer to our God. I like the way you lead us in Bible study, always mindful of each of us, patient with our diversions at times, always carefully and correctly bringing us back to Scripture for guidance and instruction. And what a great biblical capacity you have, and how wonderful it is that you are able to go back to some other book in the Bible and find the chapter and verse, and how this applies, supports, and further amplifies what we seem to be stuck in. As I get to know you, I see more and more how God has put you in the path you are now in. Certainly, with your intellect, hard work, mathematical education, you could have embarked on any number of other career paths, which would have rewarded you monetarily many full times more than the career of Presbyterian pastor that you now are taking. Like Moses, who had trouble speaking, thus making it difficult to lead a nation, your personality, tending toward introvert, put you at a handicap for the task of leading a congregation. A career counselor, after looking at your BS in mathematics and your introverted personality, would suggest a career that would put you in some corporation, writing equations, and making very good money. But God was your career pastor, was your career counselor, and he had other plans for you, as you once told me. When God spoke, you listened. And all of us who have come under your pastorate care are the better for this. Dale, we wish you good health, continued happiness, and you continue to rely on God for strength, discernment, and endurance with energy as you continue to be our pastor. Thanks for being such a great pastor. Yours in Christ, Ron and Claire. Dale, I know you were greeted with, well done, good and faithful servant, and now my heart goes out to your family.
There's somebody over here. Okay.
Back in 2005, can you hear me now? The church has sent a group of us back to Biloxi, Mississippi to do some repair work through a Presbyterian disaster on the damaged home from Katrina. We were rewiring a house. We'd given Dale an extensive course in five minutes how to rewire plugs. He was doing his diligence, and somebody flipped the switch on the main panel. Dale got a surprise. But there was an opportunity there. And Donna's husband, Ted, got on a ladder a couple of steps up with a camera with a flash as Dale had gone back to finish his work. And then he took a picture. The room lit up, and so did Dale. He didn't feel anything, but so sometimes teasing can get back. But he laughed. That was very funny. But anyway, we're always going to remember that laugh. Thank you.
Matt, there's someone over here. Yeah.
I'm Matt Brewer, and Charlotte Paulson is my sister, Andrew, my brother-in-law, just brother. It's going to be pretty short, but I love Dale. I love the Paulsons. He married my wife and I, and I'm one of the ones that threw the paddle. I never won. I won a few battles, always 2 out of 3. I never won the war, but like Andrew said, one of the things I loved about him was his competitiveness, because I was intensely competitive, and that's one of my fondest memories.
Any others? Someone back there, Matt.
I'm Pastor Mark Wright from the Vacaville Church and a member of the transformation cohort that Dale entered into this last year. Dale was a great man, as you have heard, a marvelous man, a man of boldness and humility, a man gentle of spirit and winsome of soul. But you need to know this also, please. Dale was immensely faithful. Dale could have spent these coming months and years, even as was his plan, or could have been his plan, to enter into retirement and just simply coast. He had earned it. He had served our Lord incredibly well and faithfully. But faithfulness is not static. Faithfulness is advancing. And so Dale chose the harder road and entered into a transformation cohort with us, and he touched hearts across the country. Dale was my prayer partner daily. Every day I would get a text from Dale, "How may I pray for you today?" Every day he was incredibly, beautifully, wondrously faithful. I thank God for him, and I thank God for Emily and all of the family for sharing him with us. Our prayers are with you, and we give thanks for you as well as Dale.
Keep in mind that if you are one of the shy ones that does not want to share publicly here today, there are cards in the narthex that you can take and you can write out your thoughts and sentiments that will go to Emily and the family, and that way you will be heard and what is on your heart will be heard. So remember that. Are there any here present who yet want to share? All right. Matt, I think you're next. Oh, there's a hymn first. That's right.
I will share one, though, from a friend. Lyra Helming was one of the high school advisors when I was youth director here, and she asked me to share this. She shot me a message on Facebook this week and said, "Well, now Dale finally gets to figure out whether you were right." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And she said, "Well, there was an Easter Sunday, apparently. I like to tease, and Dale's a teaser, too, and I think that's why we got along so well when I was here." And Lyra said, "You were giving Dale grief for wearing his robes in the second service." And he didn't love wearing the robes. He said, "But, you know, a lot of the folks at the second service really like when I wear the robes." And I guess I said to Dale, I said, "Well, you know that as an ordained minister, you have to wear those things for eternity in heaven when you get there, right?" And I know Dale laughed, and I remember Dale's booming laugh, but Dale always had a goofy front end of that laugh. It would kind of warm its way up and in, and I can picture him laughing at that. But Lura wanted me to share specifically. She is a professor in North Dakota for psychology, and she says, "Every time I put on my academic robe for a convocation or graduation, I think about Dale and that moment when I go to send my students off to the next part of their lives." And she wanted you all to know that every time she enters a church, she judges that pastor and that congregation by Dale Paulson. That what she looks for are many of the traits that he displayed for her while she was a college student here. And I was asked to pass that on.
And sing. We're going to sing "In Christ Alone." It's in your bulletin or on the screen.
Crowd and storm, what lights of love.
You can be seated. So my name's Matt Overton. I was the youth director here, I don't know, I think three and a half years, something like that. Probably felt longer to the kids in the youth group. I was asked to share a parting scripture with you all and maybe a couple of final thoughts. This Dale was a very special person to me. He married my wife, Annie, and I. When I first started ministry here, I was bringing volunteers in to help with the youth group, and Annie volunteered to help, and I was so disappointed because I'd wanted to ask her on a date. And I went to Dale, and I said, Dale, I don't know if I can date this girl because I don't want the thing to blow up and ruin the ministry and everything else. And Dale was a really big fan of dating, actually, if you didn't know that, at a time when, particularly in the evangelical church, that wasn't the case. And he was like, I don't think it's going to be a big deal. Well, a few weeks later, he invited all of the volunteer college students I'd brought out to dinner at Denny's. And we're going around the table, and Dale's entered because he wanted to meet them and know them. And they're going around the table, and he's asking them what their major is and where they're from and everything else. And each one, he asks them if they're dating somebody. And I am and I'm not catching on yet. And he arrives at my wife, Annie. And if you knew Annie, Annie is rather quiet and very reserved, and especially then. And he gets around to Annie, and he comes around, and he gets all the questions out. And he says, now, Annie, are you dating anybody? And then he says, no, I'm not. And he says, well, neither is Matt over here. The two of you should get together. Dale believed in getting the cat out of the bag, and he did it in style that evening at Denny's, and I will never forget that as long as I live. I will also tell you, though, Dale was a phenomenal human being, a phenomenal minister. I got to preach my first sermon in this room. And oddly enough, as God would have it, I never repeat things in my ministry. I hate routines. It was very different from Dale like that. I think he was very disciplined. But 2 weeks ago, I repeated the section of sermon that I preached here in my own church. And that was striking me this week. Dale was an amazing individual in my life. I'm not sure that I would be in ministry today as a pastor if it were not for both his witness and his and Emily's witness to my wife, my now wife, and I. They were a special model of that, the hospitality that their home extended to us, that all of you extended to us in that time was absolutely amazing. And we are still shaped by that today, every day, in our ministry. But this church also shaped that ministry. It wasn't just Dale. God has a way of bringing people and communities together and doing work through all of that like nobody else can. And this church and its witness in this community and in my life was very powerful throughout my college years. When my car broke down or something went wrong, I could always call Dale or Emily, and usually Emily would answer the phone here at the church, and I knew there was this community of people that would be here for me, supported me through seminary and everything else. And so I want to read you this passage from Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read virtually the whole passage. These words are from Paul, and particularly in this little chapter, there is a model for our life that I think Dale lived out very well. It's called the Christ Hymn. It's one of the earliest creeds in the church that talks about the shape of Christ's life, and I think as you listen to it, you will hear the shape of Dale's life emerge pretty powerfully in this. And there's also some instructions and some reminders from Paul to a community that he dearly loved, and wanted to see share in the gospel that he loved, and wanted to see experience the joy that he had experienced. And I think you will hear perhaps the Holy Spirit speaking from Dale to us as you hear this passage this morning. Let's listen together, all of us, to God's word for us. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves, except for basketball. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others, because your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus,
who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped at, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. As you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning with every emotion that is possible on earth in this room and in this space. But thankfully, God, you are here with us. You are present, Jesus, through the power of your Holy Spirit, speaking to each one of us, touching each one of us as you see fit. And we give thanks for that, God. That is a power that we cannot understand, but we are deeply grateful for this morning, today. Lord, we are thankful for this time. A time of sharing and rejoicing, not only in Dale's life and the ministry of this church, but God, most of all, in your promise of resurrection, Lord. We are rejoicing, Lord, even in the midst of our suffering and difficulty, that you have gone before us and shown us how it will be with Dale and how it might be with us. And we give thanks for that, Lord, that you have pioneered a way forward past death. And we give you thanks and praise for that today as we are gathered here. Lord, we also come in this time to bring you the memory and love and care of our friend Dale, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and a spectacular minister who is very faithful to you. We give you thanks for him, Lord, and we entrust him to your care because we know that he is safe in your hands. We know that he is deeply loved at this moment, even as we know we are loved. God, help us as individuals and as a community as we go forward from this place to continue to honor Dale's witness and your call on our lives. We pray that you would help support this family and these friends that are here. Help us to rally around one another, to lean on you and one another, God, and help us to continue to share memories, God, to continue to delight in the blessing that Dale has been to us, Lord, and ultimately to lean on you. We give you thanks and praise, God. And we entrust Dale to your care. It is in your strong and sure name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The family asked me to tell you before we depart, and I'll offer you a blessing, a little benediction before you go. But the family asked me to invite you down to the fellowship hall, which I think is like that way, if I remember my geography correctly. And there are opportunities to further share. That's part of what we're here to do today, is to share memories with one another. And just to eat a little bit and just kind of be together. And so they'd really like you if you can be a part of that. They'd love to have you down there. And so we'll head there in just a moment. But let me offer you this blessing. May the God of grace bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may he lift up his very presence over you, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.